Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a Radio.com sports station. Live from the corner of Broadway and Battery, this is the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. Now, Damon Bruce.
Thank you for sticking around with us today. Steve Kerr will be joining us on Friday. We're so sorry that we had to reschedule that. We're so sorry that the Warriors rescheduled that. But he'll be joining us on Friday. We still have a key word for you to learn. A Warrior name coming up at 5:30. And if you know that name and the other three names that were announced today, you're going to have a chance to win tickets to Game 6 of the NBA Finals, which is tomorrow, which we've been talking about. Steph Curry saying there's very little to prove, but of course they would all love to go out and win that game. I mean, it feels like Klay Thompson has become this team's greatest spokesman.
I expect us to obviously come out and play as hard as we can. We're not even thinking about the future. We're just thinking about enjoying this last show at Oracle we're about to give our fans. And I expect our fans to be the loudest they've ever been, especially in the name of Kevin and, you know, bringing his type of spirit he would bring to the fight and the competitiveness. I know our fans will do that because we deserve it, but more importantly, Kevin does for what he gave this team, this organization. There wouldn't be banners if it wasn't for his presence, so we expect our crowd to be loud for him.
Klay Thompson has turned into one of the better sound bites in the NBA in this NBA Finals, and he's turned into one of the most vociferous defenders of Kevin Durant, who, by the way, today had successful surgery on his ruptured Achilles. Today is the day we learned, indeed, it is a ruptured Achilles. If you needed someone to tell you, like, Joe Theismann just broke his leg. I mean, you were waiting for this announcement with bated breath. Of course he tore his Achilles. Today he posted on his Instagram account that it was a successful surgery. "My road back starts now," wrote Kevin Durant. "I got my family and my loved ones by my side, and we truly appreciate all the messages and support of the people that have sent our way." Some wanted to infer that him going to get this procedure done in New York was sinister. No, it's just where the surgeon is. Some people say the fact that Kevin Durant made this announcement on his Instagram page and didn't leave it to the Warriors is a sign that he's unconfident in the Warriors' messaging and blah, 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 blah. No. He told the Warriors that this is the way it was going to be, and they said, "Of course, you can go ahead and you can make this announcement yourself if that's what you really, really want to do." So there is nothing to infer from where the surgery happened or how you found out about it. Today, Steve Kerr talked all about this injury, really stunning them collectively as an organization, and they could never have imagined that it would have happened the way that it did.
Had we known that this was a possibility, that this was even in the realm of possibility, there's no way we ever would have allowed Kevin to come back. It's devastating, mostly for Kevin, obviously, but I feel horribly for Rick as well, Celebrini, who is one of the best people I've ever been around and one of the smartest, brightest minds that I've ever been around. He's devastated. Bob, the team, we all are. But we made the decision collaboratively with all the information that we had, and we thought it was the right one.
He says that all the boxes were checked. Everything that was supposed to happen did happen, and this is just bad, bad circumstances. And, you know, people want to call it worst-case scenario. Well, here's the silver lining on that. Worst-case scenario would have been there's no game tomorrow night. We have that, which means worst-case scenario did not happen. But Curry is right to emphasize, you know, this is a rough break for no one more than Kevin Durant. But he's still got a very, very bright future. I would trade my future for Kevin Durant's right now. I mean, I really would. Don't cry for him too hard. He seems to be as wired to handle this successfully as anybody. I really hope he does. I will be rooting for him the entire way, no matter where his decision brings him, either back home to Chase Center or on the road to wherever he feels better. Like he is. How about this? We're talking about who's playing with house money. Kevin Durant, he's got my house credit going forward permanently. Like, I seriously got nothing left to criticize yous about, buddy. When it came down to it, you gave it the office.
I think almost everyone in the Bay will say that, will feel that way. I'm fascinated to see how this plays in the broader Kevin Durant reaction world. Because I feel like the reaction... I shouldn't be surprised anymore in 2000, whatever year it is, by people's ability to react in mind-numbingly idiotic ways to things. But I really thought the general coverage of and reaction to Kevin Durant, particularly this year, but really throughout his Warriors career, continuously surprised me with the creativity and the lengths people were willing to go to come up with more idiotic critical takes. And I hope he's playing with house money all over. I have very little confidence that will be the case, and I'm kind of fascinated to see how the broader reaction turns after this. You have to turn on your mic.
I don't have to. Stop bullying me.
Okay.
I think people have their own peculiar need to feed the beast. They have to feed the way they do it. And that's why when people go on the air with their latest fascinating take about Kevin Durant, who he is, what he's doing, where he's going, it's all just noise. And I never look at it as, oh, this is proof that Kevin Durant has some sort of deficient character. No, what it means is somebody's got a half an hour to fill to get his check. And you're not going to get it by saying, well, Kevin Durant had 28 last night. He seems okay. You know, it just...
I reject the notion that there's nothing between Kevin Durant had 28 points last night and Kevin Durant is a crap person that deserves to be talked about. Notion that, well, people have to fill time, so they have to say untrue, stupid things.
That's not the case. Everything's a choice.
Yeah, it's a choice, and it's not better to do that.
But the choice is not Kevin Durant is a crap person. The choice is he did a thing that offends me, and I don't think it, as much as, you know, we tend to want to find the one thing that outrages us the most and decide that that is the entirety of the opposition. Most people said, I respect his right to free agency, but not there, because what they're revealing is not much about Kevin Durant at all. It's about what their own weird notion of what they believe professional sports in America in the 21st century should be is.
That's
it's
fine.
It's always couched in, you know, he gets to do whatever he wants, but he didn't clear this with me. It's as though they have a vote.
Right, I don't like it.
But it's not always couched that way, first of all.
I think most of the time it is.
Do people demand it their way all the time? We live in a world where people grow up ordering Whoppers their way at Burger King now, and they don't want it off the menu. They want it their way. There was a petition signed by about 1 million people to redo the last 2 episodes of Game of Thrones. Even though everyone knew that that was never going to happen, people still signed it because they think that their own individual outrage is going to spurn the next major decision made. And it is crazy.
But sports and politics stand out for me in that it has become, in these two worlds, de rigueur for people you would otherwise think ought to be respectable to take those positions.
De rigueur?
I've never heard that.
Well, what does de rigueur mean?
Too common. De rigueur.
Okay.
It means a French phrase.
De rigueur.
Yeah, my apologies. Oh, it was my pronunciation that was off there.
But de rigueur.
It's become shockingly regular for professionals, alleged professionals, to say the stuff about sports and politics, but let's focus on sports, that idiots on the street and on Twitter say about Game of Thrones. But if you read TV critics, they're not signing that petition. They're not advocating that petition. And to me, that's an important distinction. to be, there's a difference. There should be a difference between Bill and Danville, who's on the line right now,
and Chris, is holding through this diatribe,
and Chris Broussard or Rick Bucher, who are professionals hired by organizations to do a job, and they're doing it wrong.
No, but they're not doing it wrong for their employers. That's the thing.
It does. I don't care which one is to blame, between the writer or the employer.
But it does matter.
Why? Because the writer makes the choice to work for an employer and compromise themselves.
I mean, look. The problem here is not the person who says it as much as it is the person who says, I want you to say this. It gets us ratings. It gets us ads.
And it doesn't even do that. It's not clear to me it does that. The people most committed to that style are not succeeding.
They're succeeding enough to get paid. And look, I'm being the ultra cynic here, but that's the only way you can look at this. Politics and sports are exactly the same way. And it is a place where the ultra cynical are the only ones who truly survive.
Look, we have a world where people who mask as journalists are truly only entertainers, wearing a journalist mask to get respect that used to be afforded the journalists. But really, they're entertainers. And whenever dragged into a court of law, the first thing they'll tell you is, well, I'm not a journalist. I'm actually an entertainer. And there's an awful lot of people who cover the NBA who now certainly fall into that category, who again will use their journalist mask when it suits them and then take it off and quickly tell you they're an entertainer whenever that suits them. And it's harder and harder to tell who's who. So you got to be discerning as you select your sources. 888-957-9570. We told you Bill was in Danville, so we might as well say hello. Bill, you're in Danville. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, guys?
Very well. Thank you.
Are you sure you're in Danville or are you lying to us?
So a couple things I'll just say, just so that I'm not to segue on what you guys were saying. I think it's ridiculous for anybody in the normal world to try to understand what it's like to be an athlete and what that entails in terms of commitment and job. I mean, I think people think of job loyalty through our own eyes. You know, we work at 9 to 5 in certain careers and whatever, and loyalty is something that you do over time, but there's such a small window. I'm never going to begrudge any player for doing what's right for them. Now, it's great that they can show loyalty, but I'm not going to be the person that judges. And I know that there are a lot of people that are judging Durant. But my comment really comes on your statement about Steph Curry. You were talking about him saying that, you know, the Warriors have nothing to prove. I really kind of read his comment as being compared to Toronto, who absolutely has everything to prove, that this is a big year for them. I mean, it's likely that it's their one shot, maybe for some time. I think he was contrasting the Warriors to this other team.
Bill, I love you. Thank you very much for the call, but I don't think he was thinking about the Toronto Raptors for a heartbeat. I don't think he considered the Toronto Raptors at all when he, you know, was basically asked to, have you guys got anything left to prove?
I mean, we've made a lot of different statements over the course of these 5 years, and win or lose, I don't feel like we need to prove anything anymore. It's just about, can we get the job done or not? And obviously, like I said, tonight was an emotional roller coaster from start to finish, and we have another game to play on Thursday, so we'll be ready for it, but there's no more statements need to be made about who we are as a team in our heart and our competitiveness and whatnot. We want to win this championship. We're going to give everything we got, but I think we're done with, you know, proving people wrong or making bold statements with our play. People know who we are.
I don't think he thought about the Toronto Raptors for a millisecond when he was talking about who the Golden State Warriors really are and what they've already shown the league night in, night out for the better part of half a decade now.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very simple, linear situation. They either do or they don't, period. There's no greater statement to make. They either win the game or they don't win the game. And if they don't win the game, it does not diminish their deeds of the past. It means they failed for one night and one series. And if you need that to mean something more, then go ahead. Figure out a way to do that.
Adil, 880. What do you got, Adil?
Hey, boys. It's been proven Gasol and Ibaka have been a great big tandem. My question is regarding DeMarcus Cousins and his kind of up and down play. He had a great game 2 and 5. In your opinion, does he play better off of the bench or the starting role when there's less pressure on him? And how do you see his game evolving for this next game tomorrow? Thank you, boys.
Less pressure?
Yeah, well, I don't know if there's less or more. Here's the question. Where do the Warriors think they need that third scorer to come from? Does he need to be on the court the same time Clay and Steph are out there? Or does he need to be a guy helping Clay anchor that second unit? I'm not sure the best way to use DeMarcus. I'm glad it's not my call. I've seen Steve hide his worst center in the starting five before. I don't think that's who DeMarcus is. I think I start Bogut tomorrow night. I don't know. Because here's the deal. If you sell out with your best lineup right away, what's your adjustment?
Isn't your best lineup Looney anyway?
Well, and how much Looney are you even going to get tomorrow night? What can he really give you if he can get out there at all? And I wonder if the Kevin Durant injury doesn't affect the decision-making on Kevon Looney, if they aren't a little bit more gun-shy to err on the side of, all right, get out there.
Yeah, that's one of the great unknowables that only coaches get to decide, and they're the only ones with even remotely enough information. I mean, is it logical for Looney to play? And if so, how long? If it's, he can go and he can go for 25 minutes,
then you
use him the way you've been using him.
Based on what happened in Game 5 and what was said afterwards, it sounds to me like he's good to go until he takes a particularly hard shot to the chest. Because he can basically play until the pain becomes so much that he can't. As he said after the game, he didn't make anything worse in Game 5. It's just at a certain point, he was in such pain that he could no longer function. And
other than that,
well, but I think that the problem here is Kevon Looney's job in large part is to get in there and bang bodies with people, and it's hard to imagine which bangs your body can take without feeling it in your chest.
No question. I mean, and that's why there's I think this is one of those classic game time decisions is how you feeling? And they're going to ask that of Looney before they ask it of anybody else.
And they're going to ask it throughout the game because that's really what we're looking at.
And I think it's not only a game time decision; it's a minute by minute decision. I don't know that it matters who starts.
We're less than 15 minutes away from giving you the final piece of the puzzle that you'll be needing to give Jolo and Dibs a text tomorrow. All four Warriors' names could win you a pair of tickets into the NBA Finals in the final game in Warriors history. I will give you our fourth and final name coming up at 5:30 tonight here on 95.7 The Game. Also, at 6 o'clock tonight, we are going to be playing the name game, and tonight we're playing for Rolling Stones tickets. Like, that's pretty legit. That's an expensive prize. Rolling Stones tickets on the line tonight in the name game at 6 o'clock. This is Matt in San Rafael. What do you got, Matt?
Hey, guys. Well, first, what Ray was talking about with the dip in attendance, I think, was the Chris Washburn era when nobody wanted to see the Dubs play. But the conversation you guys are having is really interesting, and I'm glad you're having it because it speaks to bigger things. Regarding the Warriors, I think that there are two ways in which they're unique. One is professionally, they're as good a basketball team, I think, as we've seen. They're up there with the Bulls. I would put them ahead of them, but, you know, different eras, different teams. But in addition, they're a different organization in the way that they interact with each other. And it may sound trite, it may sound Pollyannish, but I truly feel like these guys care about each other the way I don't see many sports teams caring about one another. The way you saw Myers break down, the way you saw Steph break down when he found out about Durant's injury. The interaction you saw between Kerr and Walton before he left, it's top to bottom. There is a different sort of energy or vibe between these people. And I think that people outside of this area either consciously or unconsciously recognize and know this and are sick that they don't have that. Any sports fan would love to have it. It is so unique. And I think that, sadly, the American people, many of them, when they see something as incredible as this, all they can do is try to tear it down.
Matt,
that's what's really driving.
Matt, that's a phenomenal call. Thank you very much. I was asked a question today as I was doing an interview on another radio station about the Warriors.
Cheating.
What I thought. Yeah, it's a good show prep. you know, but I could. This is literally a question that I hadn't heard at any point in time. And who talks about this stuff more than us? The question was, did anyone feel funny that both Andre Iguodala and Steph Curry walked off the court to assist an injured player back to the locker room when literally you have ball boys and assistant coaches and everything to do that? Should they have left the court in that moment to assist Kevin Durant in the locker room? And when I saw them leave, I thought it was such a natural, normal action for the Golden State Warriors that I didn't even think twice about it.
You never see that.
The country saw that. And, well, at least this one person who asked me today's question on a South Florida radio station, if I thought it was weird. And I said, they hit it in plain sight right in front of me. Honestly, I didn't even think twice about it until you just asked me about it right now.
I saw it brought up in a couple places. And yeah, and Steph was asked about it and was basically like, I just felt like my brother needed my support.
Yeah, I human crutched him back to the locker room and I'd do it again.
Yeah, and you never, if you do see players doing that, it's always a guy either in street clothes or, you know, who hasn't taken his warm-ups off all night. It's never the superstar of the team and a critical role player. So I do think it says something about the attitude of these guys towards each other as teammates, and I think it's a positive thing. And not that other teammates aren't good teammates for not carrying their injured teammate to the locker room, but yeah, Steph made that decision to do that, and it's a decision most people don't make.
I think it probably happens in a number of places, but we don't notice it. That does not take anything off of the gesture itself. But the one thing I always caution about is this is not the only place where players feel close to each other. Typically, it is with winning teams, but the difference with this team is that because so many of them have been around for 6 and 7 years. I mean, there is a clear and populous core of this roster that basically has grown into these roles together. So they've become, you know, closer to family than business partners.
Well,
and that's the part that is unusual, because in the free agent era, people come, people go, and it's hard to keep a core together, even if you're good for a couple of years.
888-957-9570. Let's see. We are getting closer and closer to 5:30. I'm going to give you the final puzzle piece you're going to need to assemble the four-player Warriors team that could win you tickets to Game 6 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night at Oracle. We are going to be out there tomorrow night. We have some breaking news to share with you, and it matters to the NBA. This is a Woj bomb within weeks of free agency beginning. Kyrie Irving has fired his longtime agent and is going to be partnering with Roc Nation, Hove, going forward, according to ESPN. Kyrie Irving, again, I'm staying around Boston. No, I'm not. I love my agent. No, I don't. I might be a net. I doubt that, too.
The earth is flat. JK, everybody.
Yeah, I want to be a Nick. I might want to see what the big dog does before I sign up for that one. What do you say, Roc Nation? Maybe West Coast address might fit me? Here we go again.
Brooklyn.
At least the NBA gave us an off day piece of news. I'm surprised they didn't wait till tip off to share that for
us
tomorrow night.
The NBA didn't give us any of this.
Brooklyn.
The NBA hates this stuff during the finals.
Brooklyn.
They'd just as soon it happened a week from now.
Yeah, give it to me on an off day. Like I said, I'm glad it's not happening at halftime when we're blowing the whistle.
Brooklyn. I think there's a greater likelihood of Brooklyn than there is the West Coast, but that's sort of beside the point for me. Kyrie Irving has been looking for one thing more than anything other since he left Cleveland, and that's leverage. And you only can maintain leverage as long as you can keep balls in the air, because once he signs with somebody, no matter who it is, his leverage is over. His deal is his deal, and that's it. And I think he has wanted to have this roiling, you know, at the top of the pot, since he got to Boston. I mean, he seemed at no point like he felt comfortable there. He didn't want to be the leader of the team, but he wanted to be the one who was the most powerful. I don't know how you thread that particular needle, but at some point he's going to have to make a decision. And as soon as he does, whatever that decision is, smart, stupid, or otherwise, his leverage ends and he becomes an employee again, because nobody that he signs with is going to give him the kind of leverage that somebody like Kevin Durant would get, someone like LeBron James already has, like Anthony Davis is going to have.
What's hard for me to imagine is, what more leverage would you really want other than you've just leveraged yourself in position to sign a 5-year supermax? Like, to me, that is the goal line that every player should have their career pointed towards. And the only way Kyrie needs open market leverage is if he's willing to go open market to take less money, which means you're sacrificing leverage in your first next move.
No, but the choice of whatever you do is still yours until you make the choice. Because at the moment you make the choice, you no longer have freedom of motion. You are once you say, I'm going to take
that ship is sailed.
The Brooklyn Nets money, you're a Brooklyn Net. You don't get to sort of willfully think, gee, I'd kind of like to be an Atlanta Hawk next week.
Literally.
Or I'd like to be an astronaut, or I'd like to be a fireman. Once you sign the deal, that's who you are at that point.
Literally, the only way he could be more definitely going to the Brooklyn Nets right now is if Barclays Center was built in the Marcy Projects.
Look,
you're probably
he's
right.
Going to Brooklyn. Like, if you weren't positive 2 hours ago when he signed with Jay-Z's agency, you should have written it down in pen.
But Jay-Z is like to call him the owner of Brooklyn.
No. It's not an ownership thing.
Is ridiculous.
It's just a Brooklyn thing.
Yeah.
Spreading love?
Yes.
It's the Brooklyn way?
That's
and
right.
And he grew up in North Jersey. So
he's a Nets fan from being a kid. He's signing with Jay-Z's agency. This is all arrows pointing towards Brooklyn. And that might have as much effect on the general free agency madness as anything else that's happened in the last few days.
Your calls coming up. We've got a final piece of the Warrior name project, shall we say. If you want to be able to win tickets to tomorrow night, we're going to give you that in a matter of moments. But right now, I mean, Giants Padres, that sounds like a traffic jam to me.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
All right, if you would like a chance to get in one of the hardest tickets in Bay Area sports history, Game 6 tomorrow night, I've got your fourth and final name that you'll need to qualify for Game 6 tickets tomorrow. Our final name today of the four names is Monte Ellis. I hope you were listening to all four shows today, because tomorrow morning around 7:30, Joe Lo and Dibs are going to be giving the audience the cue to text in all four names to 95795. For the first time ever, we're going to be giving away NBA Finals tickets on the text line. I mean, I actually didn't think the text line deserved something like that, but we are going to do that. We'll randomly select a winner from those texts. The winner will be announced Thursday in the 9 a.m. hour. That is tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. hour. You need all four names. Again, our name this hour was Monte Ellis. That's the last time you're going to hear it. We're going to have a name game for you, though. At 6 o'clock, I'll tell you, it's not Monte Ellis.
That would work, though.
It would have worked, because we're looking for a player with two first names. And if you know who that player may be, here's a couple of names you might go see. Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, we got ourselves. Both work.
Charlie Watts?
Both work. Watts is an uncommon first name.
I know.
But we're going to give someone a pair of Rolling Stones tickets for later on in the summer. So make sure you are sticking around for all that. I got people texting in all four names right now. Terrible listeners.
Great job. Wrong time.
Listen tomorrow morning.
Is there any way I would like to, you know, I'm going to have to talk to management about this, but I would like to, instead of randomly, I would like to specifically choose texters based on the quality of their previous texts.
Oh, that's going to disqualify about 95% of the audience. We'd hate to do that. 888-957-9570. Ray, turn on your damn microphone.
Do you have to spell the names correctly? Because if so, people should know Double check your spellings.
I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna write a 3x5 card for you to hold all show, Ray. It's just gonna say microphone.
I'm trying to do the listeners a solid here, and you guys are peeing all over it.
That's fair.
By the way, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals is underway. We're about halfway through a scoreless first period. The game is happening on Boston ice, St. Louis, and the New England Patriots playing for yet another Super Bowl. This is Mike in Oakland. Hello, Mike. You're on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. I'm not going to say how's it going because I already know you guys are all doing great.
God bless you.
Because I know he's fantastic. But let's just get to the point that I wanted to call. I called a little bit a while ago. I know you guys are talking about Oracle and certain moments and stuff like that. But you know what's funny, Damon and Matt and all you guys? The one name I haven't heard from you guys, which is so shocking to me, is Muggsy Bogues. I feel like Muggsy Bogues really put some seats in that place in the early 90s. And he was one of the big benefactors for me going to that place as a child. And other than that, I feel like that we believe those are some great errors that that this arena can really accept. But I like what you said earlier, Damon. I don't think the romance will travel. And what do you think the attendance overall will be for the first year at Chase? And I just
completely sold out, wall to wall, packed arena the first year at Chase Center. That's the easiest prediction to make. And when it comes to romance traveling, it's hard. It's hard. Look, I mean, the Boston Celtics have won a championship in their new building, which people still call the Boston Garden, even though it isn't. You know, I mean, the romance of Boston Garden didn't really go into the TD Waterhouse or whatever the hell they
call
it.
Bulls won 3 at the United Center, and it's nothing compared to Chicago Stadium.
Look, the LA Forum, no matter what level of success the Lakers have had, at Staples Center. The L.A. Forum is still the go-to romantic West Coast NBA building for every Laker fan who grew up in that area. And look, you know, I mean, they replaced Yankee Stadium. I mean, if they can replace Yankee Stadium, they can replace Oracle Arena, believe me. You know, we've replaced Candlestick. Does anyone like Levi Stadium more than Candlestick? No, the romance of Candlestick clearly still trumps that, even though Levi's has got all the amenities any douchebag with money would ever want. The San Jose Sharks one day, you know, they're going to have a new building in San Jose. And at that day, we'll look back at the SAP HP Pavilion Shark Tank like it was an original Six sweater. I mean, people will be so romantic about that place and like, oh, do you remember when they used to drop the rubber shark head? Oh, my God, that was the greatest moment in sport. I mean, that's just the way it is. The nostalgia is a powerful drug.
It's all generational. It's always generational.
Speaking of nostalgia, can I throw a piece of not so breaking news at you?
Sure.
Canadian anthem singer for Game 6 of the NBA Finals. We're all going to be in the arms of an angel, ladies and gentlemen. Sarah McLachlan.
Oh. Wow.
Adopt a dog just before the start of the NBA Finals.
Seriously.
Game 6.
Hi, I'm Sarah McLachlan. You know me best from having my music being played over commercials where a dog's got pudding in his eye, and you're going to want to go ahead and make a donation.
There it is. Thank you. Thank you. That's good production.
You know what I want? You know what I want for the national anthem? So you're going to sing this first, right? You leave your country's national anthem for second. So you have, well, no, I guess it's going to be back in Toronto. Who's doing the Canadian national anthem tomorrow in Oakland?
No, that's tomorrow in Oakland. Is
oh, it's going to be Sarah McLachlan in Oakland?
Yeah. Yeah, what do you think in the singer green room when Sarah McLachlan's hanging out with Too Short, Mr. Fab, and E-40? What is that conversation like?
Be like, do you raise any money for dogs? And be like, no, actually we don't. but the... What do you do to trump that? Like, what should the last anthem at Oracle be?
Oof.
I've heard a lot of good suggestions, Sheila E., but this. How about this? Bring back Metallica and have Kevin Durant sing in front of Metallica. Could you get a better reaction?
Huh?
Have Kevin Durant lay down the lyrics for another grinding Metallica.
I know he's a rapper, but what's his singing voice like, Durant?
It's got to be better than Drake's.
Yep.
That's
wow.
E-40.
This is getting increasingly...
Drake has a great voice. He makes bad songs, but he has a great voice.
Sarah McLachlan. That's a Warrior win right there. This thing's definitely going 7.
707 texter says a holograph of Terrence and Phillip should sing along.
You got it, guy.
I think it means hologram, but I'm down either way. Truly. Santana, not a bad suggestion. Yeah.
Do we know that the league doesn't pick the anthem singers in the finals?
No, teams, I think, still do it. It's not like
I think
when
they get some choice. I don't know if they get it for every. I mean,
no, it's not like when Fox starts shoving down American Idol winners and losers down your throat.
I'm having a hard time envisioning.
Oh, no. Oh gosh, I have bad news about America.
It's just tell me it's not Train.
It's Train.
No.
How did you know?
No. No. No, I would have rather lost Game 5 in Toronto than see Train sing the last anthem in the history of Oracle Arena.
Monahan of Train fame sings the U.S. anthem alongside Sarah McLachlan. I gotta say, Canada.
Could we get any whiter? Seriously, like tomorrow, the final anthem in the history of Oracle Arena should be performed by a jar of mayonnaise.
Man, our text line is better at picking anthem singers than whoever picked Train's Pat Monahan, that's for sure. Also, though, if you're Pat Monahan, you've basically cornered the market on performing at sporting events for no reason, right?
Train?
No.
Train.
Train?
Oh, we got Steve Perry, we got Green Day. Bring out Billy Joe. Let Billy Joe do it. Tony.
I might take a knee. I'm not going to lie.
Somebody said bring back Mark Jackson's wife.
I might take a knee. Oh, my God. Drops of Jupiter?
In her hair.
I mean, they sing songs about soy lattes, for Christ's sakes. What could be less Oakland than that?
Oh, yeah, Alex makes a good point. What about that little girl who sang in the playoffs last year?
She's 26 now.
She's like 12.
Smash Mouth would have been better. You could have the Tower of Power coming out with kazoos.
Yes, that would have been better.
Like the Tower of Power could have forgot their brass and walked in there with kazoos and done it.
Not great.
Now,
Train?
I'm going to ask again.
What, does it matter?
No. I mean, I'm not going to listen, but I wasn't going to listen anyway.
Fair enough.
But for those of you who are committed, I'm just going to ask an open-ended question. What member of the Warriors front office would select them? That's why I think this might be a league call for some reason.
I don't think it even matters. You may be right.
No,
I don't care.
No, guys.
Someone must be held responsible for this. And if it's a league choice, then we don't have to scream that the Warriors have failed the city.
It's like the whitest decision you could come up with. So it's probably your Rebco.
Now that's uncalled for because he has no connection that we know of to either of these people.
Actually, your Rebco's cooler than Train. Let's be totally honest.
Eddie Money, Keisha Coles, In Vogue. We should have put the text line on this in the first place. We never would have ended up with Train.
To go from Metallica to Train?
That's
the steepest anthem drop-off.
That is not a rock
available.
And roll move. You are not rock and roll when you make the change from Metallica to Train.
The fact is, this series peaked in Game 5, anthem-wise.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's it.
That's true. But still, Train.
Train.
925 Texter says people in Piedmont are jumping for joy.
I don't think I want to go to the game anymore. Seriously, I might just listen to Tim Roy on the radio and change stations during the damn national anthem. I'll be like, oh, what's on KCBS? Maybe I can get a little traffic or something like that. Maybe.
Oh, man.
Train? Seriously, tonight, performing the national anthem, Tartar Sauce. Like, that would have been better. It would have had more funk, more soul, more pickle to it.
Mayonnaise.
Tonight, a jar of mayonnaise and raisins. God.
You guys are way too pot committed to this.
You got to have some fun, Ray.
No, I get it.
I'd rather have you sing the national anthem, Ray.
It would be fast.
What would an MC Hammer anthem sound like?
Dope. I don't know.
It could be cool. I could be down with that.
I don't know. Let's not pretend that Adams Family thing didn't happen. This is Dre in Oakland.
Not too legit to sell out.
Dre, how many Train albums do you have on your iPod right now?
That would be zero, Damien.
Thank you.
You know, they should find out what Fergie's doing. At least they get the guys loose. Let's play some basketball.
Let's play some basketball.
Thank you, Fergie.
Dre, I don't know even what you called in for, but it's not going to get better than the Fergie call. This is Jordan in Redwood City. Jordan, God help us. Train, where were you when you found out?
I was in my friend's garage. And you know what, Damon? If you're really that hurt by it, I'd be happy to take your place tomorrow and take one for the team with that ticket. But
absolutely. When the show's over at 4:30, meet me outside. I'll give you the credential, and I'll go home.
Do you have a Damon Bruce like mask, Mission Impossible style, at home?
I'll buy the beverages if you're covering the ticket.
It's a fair deal.
Train. I'd rather it be Bart.
They chose Train because they're leaving. Well texted, sir. Or ma'am.
We got TK calling from Vacaville. Tim Kawakami, you got some explaining to. Oh, no, maybe another TK. How are you, TK?
Hey, I'm doing fine. Hey, great show, guys. Hey, I wanted to talk about Cousins and what your thoughts were on him playing the four. You know, he's made a pretty good career out of facing the basket and knocking down shots from the perimeter. And, you know, Green, he gets a lot of open looks from out there that I think that Cousins would have a better opportunity to knock those shots down. What do you think?
Look, I don't even think the position number matters with the Warriors. I mean, they got front court guys, and they're going to be asked to shoot threes no matter who they are, as long as they're not Andrew Bogut.
I think more to the point.
Damian Jones probably won't be asked to shoot too many threes either.
No.
Can Damian Jones play? He played in Portland. I know he's not a great option for anything, but we're running out of big bodies here. If Looney...
No, you have big bodies. They're just not compelling.
You have two left if Looney's not available.
Well, but we don't know that Looney's not available.
But I'm just saying, as we run out of bodies, and I think we can agree, Bogut and Cousins start paying diminishing returns almost as soon as they step on the floor... Maybe Jones could at least give you some athletic, energized minutes, no?
Well, you gave him three fouls the last time he played.
Sure did. So. Those still count.
Well, no, in terms of playing Cousins at the four, look, the reason why Draymond Green is getting open looks is because Toronto wants him to shoot that. And they're going to, you know, they're not going to guard Green at the arc, no matter what number you put on him. And they probably won't guard Cousins at the arc either. And there's no guarantee that, you know, that he'll make them with any greater facility, or that he won't be helping Toronto because he'll be away from the basket where he could at least put a body on Gasol.
Or turning it over, for that matter, because that's been a problem.
Because the problem here is I think everybody thinks that the fix needs to be offensive, and I don't think it is. I think the Warriors have fallen behind in this series because they can't defend. And speaking of which, St. Louis has scored 1-0.
There you go, the Boston Bruins.
They sucked at defense.
Yeah, no, I think that's how they win tomorrow night. They win by defending. They don't win by trying to go for 130.
They got to knock down open looks, though. I don't care. If you got an open look, tomorrow night's a night to hit it. It's just that
there's going to be plenty of open looks because there are a bunch of Warriors who will not be guarded at the open.
That's the problem. The question is who gets the open looks and how much do you trust them? I mean, I just don't think... there's really a way for them to win this game without getting better than average shooting performances out of a few of the guys that we're not used to having to do it. Iguodala, Draymond, Cousins, Looney. You're going to have to get above average shooting performances from some of those guys because Ray's right. They're going to be left wide open.
Edward Castro Valley. What's up, Eddie?
What's up, guys? I know you're all doing good except Ray, who's always just doing marginal at best, but... so many topics to talk about today, but Drake sucks, Sarah McLachlan sucks, Train sucks, they should have Earth, Wind, and Fire doing the anthem, and last best Oracle memory is when $6 would buy you an upper deck seat, a good contact high, and watch Bernard King drop 50.
That does awesome. Sound like a good time.
Yeah, I remember Bruce Jenkins, who we talk to whenever we get the opportunity to, would tell me old stories about, you know, when it used to be called the Arena in Oakland, like, and then it was the new Arena in Oakland, and then it was Oracle. He said the contact high was real. Like, that place was foggy at halftime.
Oh, no question. No,
it wasn't because it was a fog machine.
Well, they had ramps underneath the stands at both ends, and that's how you got from the lower deck to the upper deck. And, yeah, literally, it was like a three-alarm fire.
Listen, if they really want Chase Center to mimic the feel and style of Oracle Arena, they should really build a smoking section underneath the upper deck, right?
No, they should just put in just dispensaries.
Great. Sold?
I mean, just, you know.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. If that's what you're after, that's what you do.
Look at it this way. Train's doing the anthem tomorrow night. I'll bring my dispensary with me.
If they do that, how long till the first player runs up during a quarter break to just grab a little something?
God. Rob in Concord. Rob,
between
how are you?
Say and can.
What's going on, Rob?
What I want to talk about is the elephant in the room that I perceive, and that's the technical that Draymond got in Game 5, which I think is the weakest technical he's ever got. And let's just say that the Warriors win, but he gets a technical.
That can't happen. We can't say that, Rob. I love you. I appreciate you. We should be worried about it, but we're not going to be because that can't happen. And Draymond knows it, and we know it, and Steve Kerr knows it, and everybody knows it, and Joe Lacob knows it. God damn it, even Train understands this.
It's just...
And they suck, as you might have heard.
They but, tell us all the time. All the time they tell us. We play to our own standards. We're on top of all of this stuff. Draymond Green can control himself when he absolutely needs to. They tell us how in control they are all the time. Now, putting aside the fact that they're depleted physically, if Draymond's in control and he can stop right at the line, we're at the line. So stop.
Yeah, full stop on any nonsense after a whistle, whether you agreed or disagreed with it. You need four quarters of your best behavior, and then if there is a Game 7, you can basically start throwing pies around the room at guys. Like, you can do anything other than get it ejected in-game, and it's fine. You can get a tech in Game 7. There is no Game 8. But tomorrow, I mean, no, we don't even have to say this. Of course, if Draymond Green gets a technical foul tomorrow night, he will have been responsible for being ejected from two NBA finals, which, I don't know, might be enough to ask you to leave the room.
It might.
It can't happen. I mean, it's just like, of all the things that can happen, that can't happen.
It can't.
No,
yeah.
It can.
Sure, I mean, it can, look, but I would be more comfortable with the Warriors losing than the Warriors winning with Draymond getting a technical foul. That would piss me off more.
Well, the anything is possible. If he crosses, I don't know who the officiating crew is because nobody
knows.
I'm not
sure it's, yeah.
But I could see him snap, think he's got it under control and still get stuck. But he shouldn't. He is smart enough to know that the third rail has been moved closer to his feet. He hasn't moved toward it. It's moved toward him. And it's up to him to know where to step. It's on him, ultimately.
It is. Every man's responsible for his own decisions at this point. Act accordingly. Make sure you do that tomorrow night. 888-957-9570. And we're going to ask you to give us a call if you're interested in playing the name game. How do you play the name game? Well, it's a sequence of yes or no questions. If you hear a yes, you get to make a guess or get to ask another question. If you hear a no, you're going to hear a dial tone because we're going to go to the next caller. We're looking for someone in sports with two first names. I'm not giving any clues.
Can I give one?
No.
All right.
We're not giving any clues. Well, you'll have to vet it first. Maybe we'll use
I'm
it when we come back.
I'm positive it's okay.
Okay, go ahead.
It's not Chris Paul.
Thank you very much. That is a great clue. It is not Chris Paul. What are we playing for? A pair of tickets to see Train. No! That wouldn't even be a problem. We're playing for Rolling Stones tickets. Levi's Stadium, Rolling Stones. If that might interest you, get ready to play the name game. 888-957-9570. Also next hour, we will be talking with Mike Breen of ABC Don't You Go Anywhere here on 95.7 The Game, unless you're Train, in which case you're more than welcome to leave.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.